Let me ask you all, I often open with a question. Let me ask you, where do we go to get our information? And furthermore, where do we go for our inspiration? Who do we trust to speak truth into our lives, whether it is a truth that we have to understand with our minds, like the confusion of the news on a daily basis, or whether it's truth that we need to absorb into our hearts? Where do we go for that? And furthermore, I wonder how many of us really feel like God's word, the Bible, the scriptures, has any real place in our lives for those types of things, to speak truth, to give us meaning. Honestly, I wonder. Our scriptures, this book, they say that they are the word of God to us, and we don't need to take them literally in order to take them seriously. I definitely acknowledge that many of the books written in the Bible were written many centuries after the events that they describe, and that they were written by human beings who were not perfect. But I also believe what Scripture says about itself, that it is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, that it is sharper than any double-edged sword, which means it has the power to cut to the core of who we are and what we're about. And even I believe it when it says that Jesus, in one of his hardest moments of temptation, he said, "We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." I believe these things. I really do. But what power do any of you really honestly give that word in our lives, our real day-to-day nitty-gritty lives? Today we come to a story in the narrative lectionary, back in the stories about Israel's kings, and that story is centered on God's word and the power it can have to transform not just one of us, but a whole community of people. And we come on the scene after Israel has been split into two separate kingdoms, divided and ruled by two different kings. We know something about being a pretty divided nation, right? We can relate to that. But yet both kingdoms, both leaders on both sides led the people astray. Again and again, they led them into idolatry, injustice, and even horrible things like child sacrifice. Their leaders were not good for them, and God sent prophets to say, "This is wrong, the direction you're going." But the leaders didn't listen to those prophets. They went their own way. Now, King Josiah comes, and he takes the throne at 8 years old. And he was named one of the only righteous kings for centuries, one out of only maybe three in lines of dozens and dozens of kings. A child. Isn't that amazing? And didn't we just hear last week in the scriptures that a little child shall lead them? There was this great vision of peace in Isaiah, and it said, "A little child shall lead them." Don't we often see that young people sometimes have insight into a new way forward that the rest of us maybe can't even see? Insight the rest of us don't have? That's a truth for us today, I think, to really take in. But in any event, by the time Josiah became king, the people were far, far away from God. So far, in fact, that their commandments, their scriptures had been forgotten about and lost altogether. It is in this story that you heard today that we learn how Josiah found the scriptures in a sort of spring cleaning style project in the temple. Josiah is an amazing leader because even at his young age, where by this time, by the time we hit 1 Kings or 2 Kings 22, he's in his 20s. He's a little bit older, but he's still young. And he's this great leader because even at that young age, he was not going to just do what all of his predecessors did, what his grandfather or his father did. He was going to try something new, and he saw value in restoring this temple that had been left in the dust and forgotten about. And when he was just cleaning up and repairing this temple like a church workday, that's when they found this scroll, what scholars think is our biblical book of Deuteronomy. They found it. Now, I just have to ask you to notice the irony here, that the word of God was found after being lost, like change in a couch cushion. It was found in the house of God. Now, just imagine, just to put it in perspective, if we had our church work day and we're all dusting the windows and cleaning up the closets and someone finds in an old dark corner, "Oh, look what I found," and brings it to me and says, "What is this?" That's what happened. That is how far gone the people were from remembering what God had said to them. Now, if you think that is crazy for the word to just be lost like that, I have to admit, I'm actually not that surprised, because the more I think about it, the Bible is accessible, but sort of hidden. And I'm going to tell you what I mean. The Bible is still, has always been a bestseller and the most widely printed, widely translated piece of literature in the world. That still holds true. But when you think about it, doesn't it gather dust on the bookshelves of most homes, especially in this wealthy Western culture that we live in? We see the verses everywhere. They're on banners at rallies, and they're painted on the faces of pro athletes. But yet, these verses get misinterpreted, misused, misunderstood by people all across the political and religious spectrums. As even on a personal level, I'd ask you, the next friendly person you see that doesn't mind you being curious when you leave church today, ask them, out of curiosity, do you read the Bible regularly? And I would bet money that the answer is no. And I'm not saying that as a judgment. I'm saying, isn't that kind of the culture we're living in? I would bet money the answer is no, because the Word of God is important to us in theory, but in practice, it just isn't. It's kind of been lost, but maybe not lost. Maybe hidden in plain sight. It's hidden and we just don't recognize it. It's right there, but it's hidden to our eyes. It's possible and even common for us to have experiences in life where we search and search for things that are actually right in front of us the whole time, right? We frantically search in life, in our day-to-day life, for answers and peace and contentment and connection. We search for those things when maybe what we seek has been under our noses all along, just looking different than we expected. A lot of you know what my favorite movie is. Not just my favorite Christmas movie, but what's my favorite movie? Pop quiz. Some of you know. I know it. It's a Wonderful Life. Does that ring a bell for any of you? I just could go on and on about how much I love this movie. If you haven't seen it, it's worth the black and white. But that's the entire plot of that movie that comes around every Christmas, is that the main character, George Bailey, becomes so disgruntled and so discouraged with setbacks in his life that he forgets all the blessings he has been given to make his life meaningful. His family and his community that just loves him and surrounds him in his time of hardship. But he doesn't see that when he's suffering. It's hidden in plain sight. And so too with the gospel story today, you saw the disciples were walking along grief-stricken, weighed down by grief because their friend Jesus had just been killed, executed right before their eyes, and they couldn't see straight. They were so sad. They couldn't see that Jesus was actually walking alive right beside them the whole time on this road. They didn't recognize him. And do you know what helped to open their eyes to the fact that he was right there? Was the word of God. When King Josiah really heard the word of God, he knew there was something there for him to learn, something important. But he did what other really good leaders do. He admitted when he couldn't understand something. We don't see that very often, though, do we? Leaders admitting that they don't know, that they don't have all the answers. But he did. He called a prophet, a woman prophet, to him to help make it clear. So he admitted, I need someone to help make this make more sense, because we're at this point in a nation, in our nation, where we need help, we need a way forward. So the lesson I see in that for us is that we are not bad Christians, bad believers, if we can't just pick up the Bible and read at random and understand everything. That's okay, that's everybody. We need help connecting this to our lives. There was a recent survey done by the Barna Group called The Bible in America. And they reported that 62% of people in our communities, not in our churches, out in the world, 62% of people want to read the Bible more. But that the biggest barrier is just not understanding it and not knowing where to begin. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's a real barrier, right? But we were meant to help each other with learning about God's word. Scripture was meant to be learned with others so that their experiences can shed light on where we maybe need some help, and vice versa. We can help each other. How many of you have ever been to a Sunday school or a Bible study or youth group back when you were younger anything that you went to where someone else shared and helped you have that aha moment, like, oh, that's what Jesus was saying. That's what God was trying to say. We need each other for that. That's really important. And Josiah knew, I need more help with this. So the prophet told King Josiah what the law required of the people, and it became very clear to him, wow, we're not living up to this at all. We've gone so far from what God dreamed up for us. And he heard as part of the prophecy that judgment was coming for them and that there wasn't a whole lot they could do about that. That these consequences of everything the people had done were already kind of set in motion. They were very close to being overthrown and exiled. But still, Josiah tried. A lot of leaders would have heard destruction is coming and they'd go, well, it's not my fault. I mean, forget it. That's you guys' fault. We'll just see what happens. But he still tried something. He called all the people together so that they could hear the word of God for themselves. And he did not tell them what he knew about this coming destruction because he didn't want them to listen out of fear, but out of faith. He didn't want them to just hear and go, oh, well, we better connect to God or we're going to hell or we're going to be destroyed. That's not real faith. He wanted them to hear fresh, with fresh hearts. And so he called them all to recommit themselves to God and to God's ways. So it was like a reformation. It was a fresh start. And again, how often do we see leaders in our world who admit, we've been going the wrong way. We need to change direction. I've been leading you wrongly. We never see that, right? So Josiah was a righteous leader. He admitted, we need a radical change of direction. You know, this church that we're a part of here, the Presbyterian Church USA, has as its motto, reformed and always reforming. Some of you may have heard that in our new member class, and I always highlight that because I love it. It says, we're reformed, we're part of this tradition, since Martin Luther, this Reformation, we have these roots, and we do things based on a whole tradition, but we're always reforming. We're always open to change, even when it is scary. We're not going to just hold to beliefs and practices because that's the way we've always done things. That's dangerous. And we definitely aren't going to say, we're going to do this because that's what the rest of the world is doing. That's what got the people under the kings into so much trouble. I like what the late Maya Angelou said. She said so simply, do the best you can until you know better. And then when you know better, do better. It's so simple, right? We need God's word to help us do that. So let's consider this, each of us, for ourselves. What areas of your life need the word of God to be dusted off and allowed to shine on them? What areas of your life need the word of God to be allowed to speak their wisdom and their challenge and their hope? There's a writer named Peter Gomes who wrote a book about the Bible simply called The Good Book. And he says about the Bible, your story is written here, your sins and fears addressed, your hopes confirmed, your experiences validated, and your name known to God. What would it look like? How would we live if we really believed that that were true? I have one more story for you about a fairly famous to the Jewish people rabbi named Rabbi Akiva. And he was shepherding his flock. He had multiple jobs. He had a little side hustle of shepherding sheep. And he was shepherding his flock of sheep on a hillside. And he noticed a tiny stream that was just trickling down over a ledge into a bigger river. This tiny stream was going drip, drip, drip over a ledge. And underneath the ledge was this massive hard boulder. But the rabbi was surprised because he noticed this massive boulder underneath had a big, deep divot, a big impression left by that slow drip, drip, drip of the tiny stream for centuries dripping onto it. And it had made that big of an impression. And Rabbi Akiva said with delight, wow, if mere water can do that to hard rock, just imagine what the word of God can do to carve a way into my heart of flesh. But that's such a cool image because that's how it works for most of us. It's okay if you can't read the Bible in a year and turn into some superpower Christian. That's not how it works for most of us. For most of us, it is that slow carving its way in, that slow drip, drip, drip. But we have to be open to that formation. We have to let it in. This is the last Sunday before Advent, before the weeks of waiting for God to come to us in the person, the child, the baby of Jesus. And this season always is an opportunity to remind us that we are people of a great big story, a story so much bigger than what we are going through. The story that we hear about of God always at work amidst the people, but never ever in the ways that we would expect. And so much about this season is about preparation. We do so much preparation. We are preparing food for parties. We're wrapping gifts for our loved ones. We're decorating everything to look so perfect because this year is finally going to be that perfect holiday, right? But I wonder, are our homes and our hearts really prepared to welcome Jesus in? Jesus, not perfection in the form of our circumstances, but the person of Jesus. If God sends something brand new into our lives this year, will we recognize that? The answer is up to you and the Word of God in you. Amen.